and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn of the dead, and the ruler of kings on earth, to him who loves us and has freed us from our sins by his blood and made us a kingdom, priest to his God and Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Most merciful and holy Father, we, your children, come before you in expectation that you will yet bring about on this earth a new thing, that you are working to ever recreate the earth, to bring joy where there was sorrow, to bring peace where there was war, to bring forgiveness where there was guilt. And seeing your work, O Lord, in our lives, we give you thanks and praise for the wondrous things which you have done, are doing, and will do in the age to come. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who together with the Holy Spirit reigns with thee, one God forever. Amen. Our speaker today in chapel is Dr. Darrell Morgan. He's president of the Annuity Board of the Southern Baptist Convention. It's always hard to figure out how to introduce someone in our chapel. He comes from Kansas. I don't know if we have that many people who come from Kansas, but we want to make him feel at home here in North Carolina. He's a graduate of Southwestern, from which he holds a THM, PhD. Before coming to his present position, he was pastor of the Cliff Temple Baptist Church in Dallas, Texas. I know all of you join me in welcoming Dr. Morgan to our pulpit. Dr. Morgan will bring to us the Word of God following our choir selection.
Thank you. It's always a pleasure for me to be back on the campus here at Southeastern. I appreciate always the spirit and the commitment that is so obvious when we come to these worship services, and I'm honored to be a part of it today. I'm concluding now some 10 years of work with the Annuity Board, one of the four general boards of our denomination, and frankly one of the most enjoyable facets of my responsibilities has been almost a total surprise to me, because I have become acquainted with this tremendously diverse family that we call annuitants, folks that have worked in our Baptist churches and our seminaries and Baptist agencies all across the country and have come to retirement. And I'm well aware that I'm speaking to a group this morning to whom retirement seems so far in the distance that so very little planning is ever done for it, but I have discovered, very frankly, that one of the most unheralded, unappreciated groups of people in our current denominational life is this tremendous group of some 11,000 folk that we have the privilege of serving at the Annuity Board. It is a large group, a diverse, interesting, endlessly challenging group of people that frankly have brought a dimension of excitement and satisfaction to my own personal ministry that I had no awareness of when nearly 10 years ago I left the pastorate at Cliff Temple in Dallas to come to this kind of responsibility. And how refreshing it is to me personally to turn away from some of my tiring responsibilities with auditors and actuaries and lawyers and investment people, and occasionally an irate Baptist pastor whose insurance claim wasn't settled quite correctly, and most of all, that huge impersonal bank of indispensable information on the sixth floor called our computer system, for which I am endlessly grateful that the judgment of God will get that group one of these days because of the heartache they constantly bring our way. But I wanted to share with you today, very briefly in this worship experience, some of the lessons that I have drawn from this unheralded group of people in our Baptist life, the annuitants. For example, I have found in this crowd of folk that have retired more genuine excitement about life than I have in any other group that we minister to. And I'm talking about seminary students, I'm talking about the tens of thousands of pastors that we serve and denominational folk all over the world. But I'm talking about a genuine excitement about life. And this means a great deal to some of us who are not too far away from retirement, that you can have that particular dimension and proportion that can add a degree of color and a degree of verve that might not come even from a sense of expectation. Despite the problems of age, and despite the problems often of health, and certainly the problems of poor finance in a day of inflation, I have discovered in this particular group of people something that I think every last one of us can rediscover and apply in our own ways, that God can lead you every step of the way. I'm thinking, for example, of Dr. Ray Summers, and I don't think he would mind me calling him by name. Dr. Summers retired from the chairmanship of the Bible department at Baylor University back in May. And Dr. Summers is 70 years of age now, but he is studying Portuguese with a determination and a deliberation that is really one of the most interesting things I've come across in a long time, because at the invitation of the Foreign Mission Board, he's going down to our Baptist seminary in Recife, Brazil, to teach New Testament. And I don't think I have ever met anyone who who meets the dawning of each new day with this degree of basic excitement more than this particular annuitant, Dr. Ray Summers. I'm thinking of a pastor out in West Texas right now who dreaded retirement. There's a peculiar onus in retirement in the lives of a pastor often. I hope just one or two of you will hear me when I say this. Don't become so identified with the position that you forget who you are personally. A lot of pastors do this, and they cannot think of themselves apart from a position. I am the pastor. And this very close friend of mine dreaded retirement because of that particular problem. He fought it and finally acquiesced only because of the action of the church. And at 65, he retired. And a month later, he entered into a new kind of a career in becoming a supply interim resident pastor. And he's in his sixth such interim, where he moves to the field and serves out of his experience without some of the pressing responsibilities that a lot of our pastors know about. And I was with him just the other day, and I don't believe I've ever met a happier individual than this particular person who discovered that God goes on revealing purposes to us despite some of the abrupt changes that may come. And I had no idea that when I came to the annuity board that I would discover in this great, unheralded, often unappreciated segment of our Baptist life, a simple lesson about the joys of living, the excitement of living. On my mantle at home is a small welded sculpture out of steel that my wife ordered for me as a Father's Day gift last year, and it literally came from an annuitant that we had met in South Georgia, one of the most vivacious, one of the loveliest people I've ever known. She taught one of our Baptist colleges for many, many years, and she's told me many, many times, because we've developed such a warm friendship, if I had known that retirement could have been as exciting as mine has been, I would have turned my hobby of art and crafts into a full-time job and retired 20 years earlier. And Elizabeth sent her a picture of the very first church I ever pastored, a little country church out on the black lands of North Texas, my first year at Southwestern Seminary. And soon after I went to the church, my dad gave me, I think, the world's worst car. It had been in a wreck three times, and it was sitting in the backyard. And Dad had all but given up on it when I said, I've got to have some kind of transportation. Now, in 1945, some of you weren't even around, but some of you were, and you remember very briefly that you couldn't get cars in 1945. You couldn't get tires. But Daddy welded that old Ford Coupe 60 together again and said, if you want to test your prayer life with it, you can have it. And this marvelous little annuitant friend took this picture that Elizabeth sent of the old car and the old church, and she put together a perspective of something that means so very much to me personally as I look at that and am reminded again of the outreach of the annuitant influence and some vivid reminders of some extraordinary experiences in that marvelous little country church. I never shall forget, and I just thought of it the other day when I was looking at that little bit of sculpture of the first Christmas in that church. They had an old cedar tree in the old-time country Christmas, and there was a great big package with the pastor's name on it. And I opened it and discovered two new tires. None of you, unless you were in those days, could understand what it was like not to be able to get tires. I've never kissed tires before or since, but I did that night. I never did ask them where they got those tires. I'm sure there was something illegal about it. But every time I look on the mantle at my house, I'm reminded more of how exciting life can be when there is fulfillment in the will of God. Secondly, these great people that we call our annuitants. And if the Lord tarries in his coming, we may be one of those one of these days, have taught me afresh some needed lessons in denominational loyalty. I was thinking of this the other day as I was preparing this particular message. I work for the denomination, and I'm very pleased to have that relationship in the leadership of the Lord in my life. And I never thought I would come to a seminary chapel and talk about denominational loyalty. But I think these are the times when we need honestly and intelligently and soundly to talk about the things in the past that have made our denomination what it is in the present. I have discovered that these annuitants love the Southern Baptist Convention, and in great measure they have made the convention what it is, where every year hundreds of millions of mission dollars from the tithes and offerings of our churches come through those churches to support Southeastern Seminary, to support our foreign mission enterprise, our home mission enterprise, and thousands of other entities in our Baptist life that literally comes into the mainstream of going out literally to the ends of the world with a gospel that will redeem and a gospel that will bring purpose to life. I have found that these annuitants probably tithe more precisely these small annuity checks that we send more than any other group in our denominational life, active or retired. There is prayer, there is concern, there is dedication. And very frankly, in these days, these very peculiar days in our beloved denomination, when currents of changes are headed our way from people who have not supported the great mission enterprise of our denomination, very frankly, it recharges my resources to be with an annuitant family whose actions and attitudes have been largely responsible for this evangelical miracle in American Protestantism. There was a time that I would not speak about denominational loyalty in this setting because of the challenges of probably personal interest. Well, I can assure you that isn't the point from which I'm coming today. These are times when a denominational loyalty bred in the depths of the traditions that have made us what we are, with an awareness that the thing that binds us together as Southern Baptists is a commitment to a biblical concept of missions, never a doctrinal creedalism, is the thing that will keep us together. And I am grateful for this remarkable family of annuitants who has reminded me afresh of the beauty and the depth and the perspective of loyalty. There's just one other thing that I would suggest to you that I've learned in these years of serving this unheralded group of remarkable people. They're not all angels by any stretch of the imagination. If you'd read my mail every day, I think you would recognize that I have a degree of realism in drawing lessons in this area, but nevertheless, contact with these annuitants have given me a fresh reminder that God goes on supplying strength day by day. I'm thinking of a couple that I met in Ridgecrest just last August. They're now in their 80s. There's a great deal of ill health and injuries from a fall and a terrific strain. But in the midst of all of that, a bright-eyed, wonderful friend said, "You know, I've learned again that you can do all things in Christ who gives you strength." She went on to say that life is today. I don't want to live in yesterday, and I'm not that worried about tomorrow. Life is now. I can still remember, as a student at Southwestern years ago, one of the few chapel addresses that I can recall, when one of the professors tried to deal with the reality of life today. Life is not when you get your seminary degree and get all prepared and are called to the church that you want, and then all of a sudden you punch a button and life is then. No, it is now. And that marvelous friend taught me again a profound insight afresh into the proportions of time. Life is today. It isn't yesterday. It isn't tomorrow. Live it today. You're living now, and with the help of God that comes in perspective to our needs always, we can agree with that marvelous friend who said, "I have learned again that I can do all things in Christ who gives me strength." Well, I mentioned that good friend from Georgia who made that little thing that sits on our mantle at home. She was by my office not long ago. I was surprised that she came. She drove her van all the way from Georgia to a craft show in Fort Worth. And she said, "I just took a chance on you being in your office today. I have something for you if you want it. Now, if you don't want it and can't use it, I'm not going to let you have it." Well, she got my little sense of mystery up a little bit, and surely enough, she came in with a large box about that big. And she said, "Now, again, if you have a place for it, I'll let you have it. If you don't want it, you don't have to have it." And finally, I said, "Open it up and let me see what it is." And she opened it up, and there was a large wall piece in the shape of an eagle in flight, done in copper. A really fine piece of art. And I honestly said, "I think I have a place for it at home." And surely enough, as I left the house yesterday evening to come over this way, I passed my eagle, as I call it again, hanging on the wall between our kitchen and the breakfast room, and I pass it a dozen times a day. And I not only think of a very thoughtful gift from a very dear friend, but now every time I look at that, and I've told her about this time and time again, it brings to mind my verse, "They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with strength as eagles." I'm a person in denominational life that has been profoundly blessed by folks who crossed my path with some lessons that I have needed. And perhaps you need them also. May we pray. Our Father, we are a part of all that we've ever met and known and loved. And this is part of the byproduct of accepting Jesus as our Lord and Savior and trying to do His will. And today in this setting, we express afresh our gratitude to Thee for this. In the name of Jesus. Amen.